Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
The weekly gathering place for over 1 million freedom-loving gun owners. The most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. Happy New Year to you all.
Whatever. Special guests in the...
Scrooge. Welcome to Ebenezer Scrooge Shower.
Humbug. Special guests in the studio. We got Jeff and Donna on the mic.
Yes, we do.
And Piper on the leash.
Hey,
hello,
Piper.
Guys. Say hello.
Hello. Piper's Happy New Year.
Is she a pit mix? Or just a pit?
A pit greyhound mix, actually.
Pit greyhound mix.
She's beautiful.
She's adorable.
And she's available, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, she is.
And next week on the 9th from 10 to 3, Pitter Patter Puppy House is going to be in the house. How many dogs are you guys bringing that day? You bring as many as you want. We don't care.
Probably about 10.
This is Donna. They're going to bring about 10 dogs. And Jeff, you've shot here before. You're Gun for Hire alumni.
Yes.
So you know we love dogs more than people here.
True.
So these guys are going to be here on January 9th from 10 to 3. They're going to have about 10 dogs here available for adoption. I have these very limited edition Gun for Hire leashes. Do you see this Gun for Hire leash, Sandy?
Very nice.
There's only 10 in the world, and all of us Gun for Hire dog owners have 5 of them, and there's 5 left. So the first 5 people that come
in
and rescue a dog get one of these for free.
Oh.
Okay.
That's totally cool.
You're not getting one, Jeff. Too bad. Okay, the first 5 people that come in and adopt are going to get one of these. So I'm donating that and the facility, and I'm buying lunch for the guys that day.
You're buying treats for the dogs?
Whatever the dogs want, they'll get. You know that. I have my office is full of helpful treats, so it doesn't matter. So you guys are going to be here, and it's Pitter Patter Puppy House. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how people can find out and how they can help, please.
Sure, definitely. First, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity of being on your show today.
You're very welcome, Donna.
Thank you. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization that focuses on saving dogs and puppies from unfortunate situations such as abuse, abandonment, neglect, being chained and penned for their whole life, or just surrendered either from to a kill shelter or from anyone off the streets would call us and say, we can't care for our dogs anymore.
You'll take them.
So we'll take them in if we can. The biggest thing that we look for is that the dog is not aggressive towards people or other animals.
Like my Winston.
Winston would be screwed. He would be screwed.
Yes.
Yeah. What we do is we take them in and we want to provide them a better quality of life. So when we take them in, the first thing we do is we have them vetted either down there, from the shelter, or when we bring them home, we'll have them vetted and we'll take
and
care
really
of
vetted,
anything.
Not like we do with politicians.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Like
yeah.
we take them to
so
a
we actually,
veterinarian.
Yeah. Somebody actually looks at them, checks them out.
Secretary of State
and no one,
or anyone.
No one has a company car making $100,000 a year off this. You're all volunteers.
We're
huh?
all volunteers. There's no salary out of this
at
all.
Yeah, I mean, and I love that because I love dogs more than people, and it's no secret on this show 5 years now. What's your website?
Our website is www.pitpatpup.org.
Pit Pat Pup, PITPATPUP.org. How cool is that?
Fast.
And you have a Facebook page.
And we have a Facebook page, which is Pitter Patter Puppy House.
Pitter Patter Puppy House. Now, some people can't, you're going to have 10 dogs here the 9th, and hopefully all 10 are going to find homes, but some people can't. So you can obviously take donations, and also if you have extra dog toys, it's got to be new stuff, though, right? It should be.
Yeah, it should be new toys or new items and unopened bags of dog food we would take in. We have a
any
list
particular
of
brands that you prefer?
We're really short on puppy food.
Okay.
You hear
any
that?
Kind Makes of puppy
Ron
food.
Sousa and company and all our other dog right. listeners, they're low on puppy food. They'll be here the 9th from 10 till 3. Okay, so everybody on their way to the range can
stop
illegally in New Jersey and have one of their friends run in a Petco or something and maybe buy a couple of toys if you can't take a beautiful dog home with
is
you
that
night.
Is that a necessary deviation?
It is a necessary deviation.
We'll ask Scott Bach. He's on next.
He is, yes.
The range, it's okay.
Stopping at the range is okay.
Okay. So if we're stopping at the range, Scott Bach says it's okay. So pitpatpup.org. Mm-hmm. Any type of donations would be helpful, toys or whatever. Jeff, so you've shot at the range here, and this, I guess this was, whose idea was it to reach out to me for this? Was it yours?
It was actually my idea.
Okay. And that's a beautiful thing.
I was listening to your show, and
sorry.
We needed...
You're the one.
We needed ideas to get our name around and to find homes for these dogs. So I reached out to you. You were okay. kind enough to respond right away, actually.
Yes, I'm crazy that way, especially animals. You guys can leave materials here. If you have something, we'll even put it in an acrylic stand or whatever. So when you come next week, bring stuff, all right?
Okay.
And we'll
okay,
take
cool.
some pictures and everything. So pitpatpup.org. Donna, you had a list of other stuff that you might want, like anything, leashes, collars. You'll take anything dog related, right? I see even bleach, baby wipes. You guys will take anything, huh?
Yeah, we go through a lot of bleach, a lot of laundry detergent, especially when we have bringing puppies.
Liquid or powder
laundry.
Okay, so if you go to Costco and you buy the 12 pack of tires and a 6 pack of laundry detergent, you can take one and drop it off next Saturday.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. We have that fantastic to clean up, you know, the messes.
We've been there.
Accidents.
We know.
Yes. Paper towels. We go through a lot of paper towels.
Now, is there a physical location if they can't come to the range that they can drop this stuff off? Do you guys have a place at the moment or no?
At the moment, what we do is we do our adoption events at Pet Value, located at 411 Valley Brook Avenue in Lyndhurst.
Okay.
And they have a donation bin where anybody can come in and
put just donate.
Okay. Why don't you leave us a bin here?
We could do that.
You guys can bring stuff to the range.
Right.
We'll make up a donation bin and we'll leave it here. Jeff, that's your
awesome.
Job now.
Thank you.
Okay. So figure it out.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We can
we'll
empty out Rob's car.
Yes. And if I have customers I don't like, you might find them in the donation bin when you come to clean it out in the morning.
That has been a common occurrence.
I don't have to use the dumpster anymore.
Oh. Yeah. You might not even have to dismember them.
So tell us a little bit about the 10 guests we're going to have here next week. What do you got?
Oh, well, we have...
Uh-oh. I caught her off guard on this, too, but she has a list. Go
ahead.
We have a list.
Well, we have our Piper.
Piper's she's beautiful. I'm going to post a picture. We're going to take a group photo after this segment.
Yeah.
So
Piper,
she's adorable.
She's a brindle pit bull greyhound mix.
She's beautiful.
And she's only 8 months old.
Ah.
She's a baby still. We have Shelby, she's a year old. She recently had a litter of puppies. When we rescued her, we brought her up with the puppies. That's one of our big things is that we don't just rescue the puppies. We take the mom no matter what. We always take the mom up. We know the destiny, what's going to happen to them, so we don't want to lose the mom.
Gotcha.
So she recently had puppies that all about 10 weeks old have all been adopted. Now it's her turn. She's a lab American Bulldog mix.
Great. We're going to cut you off there. Pitpatpup.org. When is it? What's it? 1-9 from 10 till 3 at the range. Please show your support. Thank you, Jeff, Donna, Meredith.
Thank you.
And Piper.
Happy New Year, guys.
Thank you.
For over 20 years, attorney Evan Knappen has seen what rotten laws do to good people. That's why he's dedicated his life to fighting for the rights of New Jersey gun owners. A fearsome courtroom litigator, one of the first lawyers to ever get a federal injunction against a state gun law. An unrelenting gun rights spokesman, tearing away at the anti-gun propaganda to expose the truth. Author of 5 best-selling books on gun rights, including Knappen on New Jersey Gun Law. The bright orange gun law Bible that sits atop the desk of virtually every lawyer, police chief, firearms dealer, and savvy gun owner in New Jersey. That's what's made Evan Knappen New Jersey's gun lawyer. New Jersey gun laws are designed to make you a criminal. Don't become the victim of New Jersey's vicious anti-gun legal system. This is the guy you want on your side. Keep his name and phone number on a post-it note attached to your New Jersey firearms ID card in your wallet, and hope you'll never have to use it. But if you live, work, or travel through New Jersey with a firearm, the deck is already stacked against you. Keep his number with you always. You can find him on the web at evannappen.com, or take the link from the Gun for Hire radio resource page. Evan Knappen, New Jersey's gun lawyer.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
And this segment is brought to you by Waldorf Chiropractic, WALDORFCHIRO.com. Waldorf Chiropractic is conveniently located in Bridgewater, New Jersey. Dr. Eric, if you or someone you know lives within a 30-mile radius of Waldorf Chiropractic, please refer them to him. If not, give him some positive reviews, thank him, or refer people. He also published his own book, Yes, Chiropractic Can Help You, Waldorf Chiropractic and Waldorf Family Chiropractic on Facebook. Thank you, and support those who support us. So now, Mr. Bach is in the house.
Welcome, Scott.
Executive Director of ANJRPC, NRA board member, and right now on the hot seat. And
Piper peed on his leg. I don't understand why he did that. I asked
Gun for Hire followers to send in questions, and we have a ton. And Sandy, we might have to push segment 4 or 5 out or something if we get to that point.
Wow.
But Scott wanted to, first of all, people think I'm going to go easy on Scott, and you know I'm not. Because I've never been a huge fan of Christie.
So Scott's sitting on my side of the table.
But I want to be objective, and Scott wants to A, give his take on the commission report, and then discuss Christie's record in New Jersey, and then we're going to do the Q&A, and we're going to try to answer.
Christie's record in New Jersey should be quick.
Yes, and we're going to. Weren't those adoption people very nice?
They
by the way,
very nice.
We're going to try to do as many questions as possible. There's a ton, and some of them obviously are repetitious, Scott. So, but we're going to go through them. So, Scott, without further ado, give your take on the commission report, please.
Thank you, and great to be back here, guys. So first, I want to talk about what this commission report does. I assume your listeners know the report that I'm referring to. It is the report of Governor Christie's commission on reviewing the gun laws.
Just give it a real quick once over for the people who don't get the
Back in June, the governor appointed a commission or announced the appointment of a commission to study and make recommendations on New Jersey gun laws. It came in the wake of what happened with Carol Bound, the Carol Bound murder and tragedy. And all fall, people were wondering, you know, what's going on with this? You know, we haven't heard who the commissioners are, what, you know, what's coming. And what happened in late December is the commission, simultaneously, three things happened. The commissioners were announced, their findings were released, and the governor accepted their findings, okay, which suggests that we're on a fast track to actually having those things implemented. So that's what's going on. And, you know, in all the, you know, there's a lot of issues that have been happening. And, you know, we've kind of glossed over some of the very serious progress that this commission report represents. So I wanted to start with that. The commission report basically makes recommendations on three things: permitting delays and illegal conditions, reasonable deviations in transportation, and justifiable need for right to carry. And on the first two, the commission report recommendations, if implemented, are a slam dunk. And people seem to have overlooked that in all the furor over, you know, the op-ed I wrote in the New Hampshire Union Leader. And it's important that we understand what the recommendation is, okay? We all know one of the biggest complaints of gun owners for decades has been towns exceeding the 30-day limit to issue permits to purchase and firearms ID cards. Also, towns imposing illegal and unauthorized conditions on a permit applicant.
Additional forms
and requirements. Like, for example, your employer has to sign off and say they're okay with you getting a gun. Your spouse has to be notified. Okay, or you can only come in to pick up the application between 2 and 4 p.m. and see only one person who's never there those days.
Right.
There are literally dozens. And, you know, those of you who've followed our work for years, the association several years ago launched our permitting strike force to address that, okay, on a private basis. Okay, there's 565 municipalities in New Jersey plus a whole bunch of state police that act as permit issuers. And we have spent a fortune, and Dan Schmutter, we have worked his tail off, basically compiling proof of the widespread abuse on both ends. And, you know, our permitting strike force, we're currently engaged, and I think Dan Schmutter is going to be on next week.
He's more than welcome to be on.
But he can talk to you more about that. But we're engaged with over 200 towns in discussions with them. And, we've had a multi-year plan that started out with identifying where the problems are. That was phase one. Phase two, which we're in the middle of now, was trying to solve what we can privately, because a lot of these towns don't know what the law is.
Right, right. They're just ignorant of the law.
A lot of them have said, hey, we never knew that. We're going to comply, okay? Or we're going to self-audit. We don't think we're in violation. We're going to self-audit and get back to you. And so the idea was at the end, phase three, the hammer phase, is where we use litigation and other, you know, heavy-handed tools. It was going to go after the heavy hand or the worst offenders, you know, like Jersey City. Okay. The worst offenders, the ones that aren't, they know what the law is, but they just refuse to comply. And, okay, so what the commission report does, and by the way, the commission report mentions our permitting strike force and mentions ANJRPC by name and acknowledges the scores of data that we provided, okay, on which some of their findings are based, apparently. And basically it says that the recommendation is that the Attorney General issue a directive to all permitting authorities clarifying the law and making clear what the responsibilities are of all permitting authorities. What this does, and the reason this is a slam dunk is, number one, this is the first official acknowledgement of a widespread problem. We've had a few positive cases in Jersey City, which we have used, but this is basically an official document that says, hey, we know there's a problem, and we think the Attorney General should issue a directive, something that we can use in the permitting strike force. This is going to accelerate the process, a process that was going to take another couple of years to finish. With this document, I'm going to say when it comes from the Attorney General, not if, and I know there's some speculation about that, which we'll get into, but when it comes, this is going to enable a much more expeditious resolution of the problem on a statewide basis. It's also going to facilitate the hardcore litigation that inevitably is going to come with the towns that are just recalcitrant and refuse to comply with the clear and explicit law. This is huge, okay? There are people who don't want to acknowledge that for whatever reason, but that is an objective fact. For those of us who've been around in New Jersey for a long time, and you guys have been here longer than I have, Anthony, you go back to the early 90s in the Florio days, we've never had an executive branch that has acknowledged a problem like this.
And I agree.
They all look the other way and go, problem? Right. What problem? There's no problem. So anyway, this is huge. Next is reasonable deviations, okay? And for those who are not familiar with this issue, bottom line, we all know New Jersey gun law is insane and backwards and needs to change and be brought into compliance with the post-Heller and McDonald era, which it will be in time. But for now, we all know that there are authorized points in state law where you're authorized to possess firearms, and transportation between those authorized points needs to be direct. And I hear we're going to a break, so I'll pick it up after the break.
All right.
For many people, walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra-wide ports, so two people can stand side-by-side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well-lit. We also have three times as much light downrange that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well-lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape.
When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom. And go back up to the concierge and make a right, we have two smaller classrooms. And those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family. So the bathrooms are very high end. We used marble and corian and really nice tile and full length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
Freedom.
No rules, no apologies, no holding back. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation. 4 years running.
And this segment is brought to you by Montville Executive Suites, MontvilleOffice.com. Ron Sousa, for as little as $52 a month, you can get your losing looking ass out of the coffee shop into a professional office environment. MontvilleOffice.com.
Commercials like you'll never hear anywhere
Montville
else.
Montville Executive Suites. He also has a meeting room that holds up to 70 people. You have to check it out. Ron is a dog person. I know that he'll be coming down to donate something to Pitter Patter Puppy House. Please, all of our listeners that are dog and animal lovers, dog, cat, everybody, I know who you are. Show our support. Show everybody on 1-9 from 10 till 3. Come down. There'll be 10 dogs. If you can't have a dog, donate something. Detergent. $5,
now, and
$2,
yeah, and
or whatever.
Since it's a 501c3, that means that you can make a donation, and it is a tax-deductible
Correct.
Donation. So can they send checks or anything to us
yeah,
here?
Yeah. No, I don't want that. They could just go to pitterpatterpup.org
and
figure
and
it
donate,
out. Yes,
yeah.
Because I can't be trusted with the checks. I'll end up
That's
going to the bar
true.
Or something.
You're
going to
be down in Vegas again.
All right, Scott, I'm going to yield back to you before I get into you with these questions. Go ahead.
First of all, I thought I was in England for a second with that bumper intro with the British accent. I don't know what's going on here, but...
Good day, mate.
was it Aussie?
Australian.
I don't know. That was Aussie.
Have,
okay.
You're going to have a spot of THC in a minute. Go ahead.
Okay. Reasonable deviations. One of the biggest other complaints we've had for years is that we're authorized to possess firearms in certain places. And
your
our
home and on the,
your,
at the range.
Your home, the range, the gun store, a place of business if you own it, and anywhere directly where transportation is direct to and from is where you're authorized to transport.
Which has always been up for
interpretation. Yeah, nobody knows
whoever.
What reasonably necessary deviations means. And it's, you know, if you stop for food or fuel or medical treatment on the way to the range,
you're shit.
In that moment, you become in possession, unlawfully in possession of a handgun, even if you have a locked, unloaded handgun in your trunk.
Technically a felon, technically subject
up to 10 years.
10 years in jail.
And not just technically, actually.
Actually,
I mean, we have people, I mean, Brian Aiken
was
a victim of
Perfect.
This, and,
yep.
and it happens every day. Now, you might recall in 2013, the battle of 2013, when we had 85 gun bills coming our way.
Right.
One of the things, one of the bones that they were going to throw us in their self-styled compromise. Remember those guys
yes.
declared there was,
yes.
there was a compromise with themselves. But one of the yeah. self-styled bones they were going to throw gun owners was they were going to fix this. And, you know, we gave them input on the way it should be fixed, and it was all set to be fixed until Senator Loretta Weinberg
That's turkey neck
got wind of the fact that we like the resolution, and then it suddenly
disappeared.
Well, guess what? The exact language that was the fix back then, which hadn't been introduced in a bill, is the exact language that appears in the commission report as a recommendation to the Attorney General to interpret the law so that there are a certain minimum baseline of what reasonable deviations means. So that if you stop for food or fuel or medical treatment or an emergency, or if you're picking up or discharging passengers, et cetera, you're not suddenly subject to being a second-degree felon with up to 10 years in prison. So I will say again, when that is implemented, that is going to be a slam dunk. Two huge issues that have plagued New Jersey gun owners for decades on the cusp of being solved. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, again, let me just address for those who say, well, you know, it's just a commission report. Okay. I didn't see any action on it. Well, there's a lag time between the time a commission recommends something and if the Attorney General is going to do something, they're going to do it. So the question is, you got to ask yourself, why would they accelerate announcement of the commissioners, release of findings, and the governor accepting them all on the same day if they did not intend to fast-track it to the extent possible and feasible in the Attorney General's office?
Which they, it's a political decision. They need to fast-track it for his campaign.
Whatever the reason, it would be insane for them to take this step and then not follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It would make no sense and would actually result in, instead of a positive thing, it would be an implosion on them. So I'm going to, and to me this is not going out on a limb, you know, Governor Christie, whatever you think of him, he's not the kind of guy to bluff. You always know where you stand with him. If he wasn't going to help,
well, that's true.
He wouldn't pretend to help and then not follow through on it, in my opinion. Okay, for those of you who are skeptics, you know, we can talk about it after the Attorney General acts. Right. All right, and that's all I'm going to say about that. The third thing the report deals with is justifiable need, and it actually makes a small incremental improvement in justifiable need to carry a handgun. Now, there is a backdrop to this because there's been a lot of outrage that the governor didn't rewrite the standard on justifiable need to make it the way we all want it. Okay, I mean, look, right to carry is the issue that made me an activist 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Me too. Same
okay?
one.
I mean, right to carry is my thing, and so here's the thing you need to know. Okay, right, here's the backdrop. Right now, we're all waiting as we're taping this. We're all waiting to hear what President Obama's executive actions on guns are going to be nationally. We've all heard he's going to close the gun show loophole, et cetera, and do everything he couldn't do through Congress through executive action. Well, the thing is, if you want to have executive action that can't be challenged, you have to, the executive taking the action is constrained. They're in a box, and they're constrained by what statute says, basically what laws say, and they're constrained by what courts have said about those laws. Then within that box, there's wiggle room. Okay? Now, President Obama, from what we're hearing, if it's true, sounds like he's ignoring that box. And if he goes outside the box, his executive actions will be easily challengeable. In a constitutional republic, the reason this exists is because each branch has to respect and recognize the other. The branches are supposed to be co-equal. And so, okay, so let's take us to justifiable need now in New Jersey, okay? An executive that wants to improve something has to recognize that they're inside this box and use that wiggle room to make whatever improvement they can. And so although we're all disappointed with the extent of the improvement, it nonetheless is a slight incremental improvement in justifiable need. Dan Schmutter has done an extensive interview on John Willett's Bear Arms show, which was just released. And if he comes here next week, he can elaborate in detail. But the bottom line is, they have cracked the door open on justifiable need. Now, we all know justifiable need has to go out the window. We all know the justifiable need standard is not constitutional. The executive branch can't ignore it. The burden is on us to challenge it. But what they have essentially done is wiggled within the box that they're in as much as they were comfortable wiggling and cracked the door open. And they've basically made a small incremental improvement. They've also criticized the heck out of justifiable need standard and I think helped set up a potential lawsuit, another lawsuit, challenging justifiable need. So again, commission report, unprecedented. You know, my summary on it is permitting delays and conditions are addressed by the report. Reasonable deviations addressed by the report. Justifiable need on right to carry is improved incrementally. And that has never happened before in the state of New Jersey. First, we've never had a report like that. Second, we've never had what I will term imminent attorney general action or implementation of that. Yeah. And again, for those who disagree with me on that, time will tell on that. Okay, but I'm willing, the fact that I am willing to sit here and publicly say that I am very confident that these things will be implemented, for those reading between the lines, that should say something. Okay, so, you know, I wouldn't be putting myself on the line if I didn't believe that there was going to be follow through and soon.
And so, and that's why you wrote that write-up, that op-ed piece for him in New Hampshire,
well,
correct?
Well, it's one of the reasons why I wrote the op-ed. The op-ed piece is basically a reaction to, okay, here's the backdrop, okay? Again, for those of us who've been around forever in New Jersey, what is the backdrop? Every governor we've ever had, including Republicans, okay, have not helped us out one bit. And if anything, have gone the other way.
Yes.
All the Democrats have gone the other way. And so what I have seen, and it, we'll get into the Q&A and the criticism, but what I see with Governor Christie is I see him, he started out a certain way, he's evolving like most politicians do, and he's moving in the right direction, and he's helping us on balance. Okay, and I'll get into the particulars of his record in a second. Does that mean he's perfect? No, it doesn't mean he's perfect. But the things we have seen coming out of his office are unprecedented in state history. And just to tick down the list, okay, first governor in New Jersey history ever to veto gun control legislation. Okay, he vetoed the 50 caliber ban in 2013. In 2014, he vetoed a new ban on so-called high-capacity magazines. We all call them standard-capacity magazines. He vetoed the Sweeney licensing bureaucracy, you know, which would have harassed us, which would have been the privacy-invading
stamp thing, on your driver's license.
That their national model, if you remember that, their centerpiece.
The mark of Cain on your driver's license.
He refused to expand New Jersey's assault firearms ban. He blocked implementation of the smart gun law, which is a ban on all conventional handguns. He did not have to do that. An attorney general of a Democratic governor would have ignored the fact that there is no functioning smart gun, would have declared that one exists and triggered the law, which is a ban on all conventional handguns. He signed legislation protecting gun owner privacy. He's pardoned five now, gun owners, Shanine Allen,
five.
Brian Aitken, et cetera. He reinstated New Jersey's black bear hunt and defended the hunt in litigation by animal rights extremists, and we'll pick it up after the break. Hold on.
Time and memories, the two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices, no interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day. And perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
And this segment is brought to you by Philly Gun Training, PHILLY, Gun Training, Philadelphia Firearms Training, Jose Morales. He has the facility. Please check him out if you're in the Philly area, Philly proper, actually. He's right across the street from the police department that issues the permits in Philly. Don't end up being like our friend Shanine Allen. Go see Jose. Learn the laws. Yep. Learn the rules. Learn the regulations. PhillyGunTraining.com. I posted the pitter-patter puppy adoption stuff already. People like, oh, my God, I was looking to adopt. I'll be there, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a great thing. Scott, wrap it up, and let's get to the questions, please, because people want me to get tough with you. Hold on. I have to get in the mode. Box, box. Okay, go ahead.
By the way, I was glad to hear no British accent on that intro music.
Okay, this time.
Go ahead.
Okay, so we're, the topic is why I wrote the op-ed. In the Union Leader in New Hampshire, and I was starting to just give the backdrop of.
I didn't read the op-ed. Why was there such fervor?
He said, "Christie's good, okay." Go ahead.
Sums it right up.
What the op-ed does is it's factual. It's not opinion. It lays out fact of why Christie's the strongest we've ever had in New Jersey, which may not be saying much nationally, but the point of the op-ed is to give the man credit where it's due for a reason. I'll get to that.
Basically,
in a minute.
A turd that doesn't stink as bad as the rest of the turds.
No, I wouldn't say that. And you tell me, okay? Because what I was saying is, our backdrop is we've never had an executive branch of government help or try to move in a direction. And what we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years is we've seen a trend developing. We can get into why that trend has developed, but let's look at the trend first. I started going down this list. First governor in New Jersey history to veto gun control legislation. I mean, guys, we all know we would have a ban on 50 caliber guns and we'd have 10-round magazine limitations if it wasn't for the governor. That is a fact, okay? And it shouldn't be controversial to say it. And it shouldn't be controversial to give him credit for it. So you go down this list, I'm just picking up where I left off. Before the break, he reinstated the New Jersey black bear hunt and defended the hunt in litigation by animal rights extremists. You all know we had that fatal mauling last year and just a few weeks ago in Rockaway Township.
Just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that's actually a mile and a half from my town. He signed legislation creating an apprentice youth hunting program. He vetoed a bill that would have forced the state police to breach confidentiality of federally protected gun trace data. He's the first governor in New Jersey history to publicly acknowledge the difference between laws that bureaucratically harass peaceable gun owners versus those that severely punish violent gun crime. We know that he's used executive powers to help people in the Carol Bound situation. And we know he formed this study commission, and the study commission just issued its recommendations. He also...
Why was that study commission secret, by the way?
I don't know the answer to that.
All right.
He also took a... Well... We know that he embarrassed liberal anti-gunners who, up until he was governor, pretty much got whatever they wanted. I mean, anything that passed both houses of the legislature.
And
you're going to hear me defend you here. People were saying, well, Christie's only doing this because he was trying to, you know, get votes in New Hampshire.
Okay.
Okay, good. Okay. We'll take it.
So what?
Yeah. I'll take that.
Right.
Whatever
so
we can squeeze out of him for the next year, let's do it. But now.
That's how we got Carrie National Parks.
I know. We extended
like that,
the show for you. Let Scott finish before I get into the questions. I'm going to go back to my nap.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He also took a pounding in the media for doing these things.
Correct.
Okay. He took a pounding. Now, for whatever reason, and we'll get into that, for whatever reason, he's stuck his neck out. Now, let's just pretend for 1 minute there's not a presidential election going on right now. And if we had a governor who did all these things for the first time in state history, would we want to, when someone is evolving, right, there, you know, and trending in your direction, what do you want to do? Do you want to pour cold water on them, or do you want to encourage the behavior? Also, keep in mind, there's 2 years left to his term, okay, assuming that he completes his term. And there's a lot. If you look at the trend we're going on, and if you look at the accelerated pace in which things are starting to move in our direction, there's a lot that can be accomplished in whatever time is remaining in office. And so... pretend there's no presidential election. What you want to be doing is you want to be rewarding that behavior, not punishing it. You want to be using the carrot, not the stick. Okay, now let's layer on. We've got a presidential election going on. Okay, and what I have observed, and here's why I wrote the op-ed, I've observed national commentators bashing Governor Christie for his record on a lot of things, including guns, and not giving credit for any of the things he's done. And now My charge, we're not involved in the presidential election, okay? We're not endorsing anybody in the presidential election. But now I'm watching this and I'm saying, okay, if he's sticking his neck out for whatever reason and he's not getting credit for it, what incentive does he have to keep doing it in New Jersey?
Especially when he's not on the campaign trail anymore.
Right. And I know there's going to be people who are saying, well, you shouldn't have to think like that. And I acknowledge that. You shouldn't.
Right.
But I also deal with reality.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm dealing with reality and I'm watching the guys, you know, listen, you don't have to. I get the conservatives have issues with Christie on a national basis. And that's not
our, I do.
That's not our point of reference. Our point of reference is we have the opportunity of a lifetime to get some stuff done in New Jersey in the next couple of years to keep this trend moving. And when I see that nobody is giving the governor credit for the good things he has done that are not arguable, these things are not arguable, they are factual, I see what that, the net effect of that is that that removes the incentive to keep, why keep sticking your neck out if you're sticking your neck out and nobody's going to even acknowledge it? And so I wrote that op-ed because it needed to be written in order to benefit New Jersey, okay? Somebody has got to be out there saying, okay, he's not perfect, okay? We don't have everything we want, but you know what? We've never had anybody in state history who's done everything he's done. There is no problem giving the man credit where it is due. Mm-hmm. There shouldn't be a problem because it is in New Jersey's interest to do that. And there's a lot of people who've been speculating, why did Bach do this? There's, you know, Bach has sold out. He must have been paid to do this. He's endorsing Christie. We're not endorsing Christie. If you read the op-ed, we specifically say we're not endorsing anybody. We're neutral in the presidential campaign. But what this is about is giving credit where it's due. And nobody in New Jersey should have a problem doing that. I understand why some of the commentators who are outside of New Jersey and don't want to see Christie advance are upset that somebody might point out the factual things that he has done. But the fact of the matter is he has done them. For whatever the reason, he has done them. And he should be given credit for it, especially if we want to maximize what we can get done while he's still in office.
Right.
Okay, so
now there you go.
My first question is, when will the Attorney General act on this stuff?
I don't know the answer to that, but I believe it's going to be soon. And that's based on a number of factors, one of which I already talked about. If you look at the accelerated pace within which this thing was, you know, 6 months ago, he forms the commission, and simultaneously in December, you have announcement of the commissioner's issuance of recommendations and the governor's acceptance of those recommendations. That sure looks like a fast track to me. For those who are cynical and say he's only doing this because of the presidential campaign, you can make an inference there.
And what would it matter anyway?
It doesn't matter, but for those who are interested in timing, if you look at it from the cynical point of view, you could say, okay, well, it's not going to serve him in six or 8 months.
Correct.
Okay, if just as a commentator, I'm willing to say they're coming soon, okay, based on a lot of factors, including the two that I recommended. So there's your answer to that. And you know what? If it turns out I'm wrong and it doesn't happen, I'll have no problem coming back on air and saying, hey, I was wrong and I got snookered. So
snookered.
You've been beating around the bushes a long time in the State House, and you tend to be able to, because you're there, because you are physically there, and you interact with these people, you have a better read than I would or Anthony would or many of our listeners would, and a lot of people who even run other two-way organizations would, because you're there. You guys who are there, the leaders of other two-way organizations and yourself, who are there dealing with these people, we're trusting you to be able to say exactly what you're saying. Hey, look, we're moving forward. It's not at a breakneck speed, and yes.
It never will be.
It never will be. Not in this state. You know, we're sadly enough, we have to be.
Here's the thing, okay? As a 2A leader, listen, I'm as hardcore as anybody who is listening to this. And Anthony knows this. I've known
Anthony.
That's
why I don't question you being
long time.
Bought out,
but,
for sure.
So, I mean, anybody can shake their fist angrily in the air because we don't have everything we want or because it's not moving fast enough. In what I do, I have to deal with reality.
Right.
Okay? So I have a hardcore heart, but I also see where we are. I see where we need to go, and I see opportunity. And when I see opportunity, you know, there's approaches I've seen for years nationally of organizations. Some, you know, supposed no-compromise organizations would rather see, they see a train heading for a cliff, and you can nudge the train a little bit so it doesn't go off the cliff, but it doesn't go all the way where you want it to go. And they just say, let the train go off the cliff, because if the train crashes, people will somehow wake up and everything will fix itself.
No, it won't.
And
not in this, not in New Jersey. Well, it doesn't work like that.
My view, and not everybody agrees with this, is if you can nudge the train, you should nudge the train, because guess what? Incrementalism works two ways.
Yes.
It's not going to happen all at once.
We didn't get here overnight. Mm-hmm. We got here one tiny slice at a time that slipped under our noses, and we allowed it to happen. We're finally, from what you're saying here, is we're finally moving the slices back in the other direction.
Until we get a Democrat governor. All right, Scott. This is from Matt Sedano. What actions has Governor Christie actually taken with respect to the recommendations of the commission he impaneled? You kind of answered that already, right?
Yeah, well, the short answer is he's accepted the recommendations, and now we're waiting.
I mean, is there going to be teeth? Like, are the state police and the towns going to be told they have to follow the state police guidelines? I mean, we don't know yet, right?
We don't know.
Because this could just be bullshit in the end.
Anything's possible, but I can tell you, from my perspective, I don't think it's going to be BS. I think it's going to be serious. I think this governor is very measured. He thinks before he acts, and he acts very carefully and in a very circumspect way. And I don't see an aggressive commission report coming out with an attorney general that won't follow through on it. I just don't see that. And if I'm wrong, I'll come on and admit I was wrong, but I don't think so.
And the Kurt A. basically said the same thing. What is going to be done to get rid of these burdens and implement the changes?
But that's a great question, because the law, as we all know, is not self-enforcing. The Constitution is not self-enforcing. We have Heller and McDonald, yet we still have New Jersey gun law. It's going to take action by groups and individuals, and like all of us have done, to actually make it happen. And so, you know, if we suddenly get a directive from the Attorney General to every, you know, permit authority saying this is what you must do, that doesn't mean we're not going to have to privately enforce it. We are, most
It'll
likely.
It'll be easier to enforce it, though, if we have a letter from the AG.
If you combine that with the case law we have and the trend that we have and the Attorney General, I'm sorry, the commission report, let me just tell you, it's going to be way easier. And for those towns that just refuse, it's going to be much easier to sue them. Much easier.
Speaking of suing towns, McGovern is going to be on the show next week, who sued Jersey City with Knappen and probably Dan Schmutter. So that should be a really good show. Anthony Wildarski wants to come down and tar and feather you and wants to know if the governor gave you a nice reach around to support the bullshit that came from the commission. And I love you, but we're not going to answer that right now.
This is not an episode of Impractical Jokers.
Yes, let's talk about, this is from Charles Winston Jeff from Flanders, okay? He wrote, good afternoon. My question is twofold. Why is this even necessary? It's obvious towns have been defying state statute for years. I think we kind of covered that already,
well,
Charles.
Can I comment on that?
Please.
I mean, listen, he's right. It shouldn't be necessary.
Right.
Okay?
But it is.
The law enforcement should be following the law.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, in the end, if you take a step back and look at this from 30,000 feet, we're going to get, I believe, something from the Attorney General telling police departments, you have to follow the law. Okay?
It's
absurd on its face, but it is necessary. Again, we're hardcore in our hearts. We understand the way things should be, but we also have to deal with the reality that's right in front of our faces. So this makes our job much easier. So hopefully that addresses that.
Okay, and he also wanted to know, make them go on a defensive, then the AG will be forced to act, especially file for misconduct. He said he'd be gladly willing to donate money if he knew such action was taking place.
Well,
but a lot of it you had was secretive, correct?
Excuse me. There is action taking place right now in ANJRPC's permitting strike force, okay? And it has cost us tens of thousands of dollars, okay, to do that.
So the donation would
Listen, if you're so inclined, you can donate to ANJRPC. If you're not, don't. We're committed to the outcome with or without donations. But the point is that there is action and has been for several years going on in a concerted way. That action is going to get a lot more aggressive as soon as we have something in our hands from the Attorney General. A lot more aggressive.
Please, crossing fingers. This is from Tom Palermo. He says, thank you for your time and all the hard work you do. It's greatly appreciated. He goes, I truly appreciate Mr. Bach coming on the show, regardless of the fact that the NRA as an organization has basically abandoned New Jersey, while it uses us an example of what not to do to help other states. I always find Mr. Bach's comments and strategies to be well thought out and effective. My question is twofold. The first part is, will this move by Governor Christie actually produce lasting results for us? And will this move by Governor Christie prompt the NRA to participate in helping us in a meaningful manner? It would be nice to see some of the money that we, the freedom-loving NRA members in New Jersey, contribute to the NRA used to assist us rather than use us as a pawn.
And you'll have about a minute to ponder your answer and
Tom
respond
Palermo, we're coming
once
back.
We come back. All right.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. And chances are, when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
Crank it up!
Are we ready?
We're ready.
All right, so he said, I appreciate coming on the show. I always find Mr. Bach's comments. Yeah, the first part is, will this move by Governor Christie actually produce effective, lasting results?
Okay. The answer is, I think so. I think that's what they're trying to do, but it can't be guaranteed. We could have a new attorney general come in and try to undo everything, but because this governor—
Does the attorney general have that kind of power if the governor is saying to him— So he can do whatever he wants to do.
The attorney general is not beholden. I mean, the attorney general is appointed by the governor.
So he serves at the pleasure of the governor, but
serves at the pleasure, but is not beholden to the governor.
I want to focused answers now because I don't want to run out of time. I got a lot of questions, and I don't want to hear any shit from all the internet commandos that are going to be beating me up. The next thing is Mark Cheeseman. He wrote,
"Wait, we didn't get to the heart of it about the NRA."
Go ahead. Proud of you. Go ahead.
I'm not even going to say what Anthony just did in here, but
no,
I feel personally violated by
what
Anthony
rogue,
as you should.
I had a rogue booger stuck on my finger that I couldn't get off, and I gave it to Scott.
I need to get to a washing machine immediately.
Yes.
Or maybe at a garbage can,
Go ahead. Finish. Come on, man. Go ahead.
Okay, look, on the NRA thing, NRA has not abandoned New Jersey. I know a lot of people feel this way. First of all, hopefully people know NRA's state and local lobbyist lives in New Jersey. That's unprecedented.
Let's bring Darren Goins in and let's save it for another show.
All I want to say is, listen, I understand we would all like NRA to do more, but NRA does a hell of a lot that it doesn't advertise. Just for starters, NRA Civil Rights Defense Fund has contributed over half a million dollars.
We get it.
We'll do a show on that anytime.
Okay. Really, let's save it. So Mark Cheeseman, he wrote three questions. When and how long will it take for the recommendations? You already answered that. Since these are recommendations at this point, is there still room to have justifiable need redefined as simply self-defense?
Sure, there's time for that, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think, remember the box analogy, okay? The executive branch of government, if it's going to respect the constitutional separation of powers, cannot simply go outside that box and ignore what the state statute on justifiable need says, nor what the state Supreme Court has said. It's constrained by those things, and the executive branch can't just simply ignore those things and rewrite it if it wants to do something seriously that is going to stick.
Okay.
So while there's time to change it, I don't know that that's going to happen before there's something initially that happens from the Attorney General.
And then Mark's last thing, Mark, was will the carry application process change, less cumbersome and confusing? Most local PDs are confused on how to complete the process because they've never done one, obviously, with less than 500 civilians having carry permits in the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything about the recommendations that's going to affect the process at this point in time. That doesn't mean that there couldn't be future action to address the process. This addresses the substance of what happens within that process, but I don't think you'll see the process itself change.
Okay. Now, this is Nick from Glenwood, New Jersey. Was it necessary for ANGRPC to shill for the governor in a New Hampshire paper? I think you addressed that already.
No, let me address it.
Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, we didn't shill for the governor. What we did, I mean, I explained, it's not a mystery why I did this. I did it because on the national stage, nobody's giving the governor credit for what he's done. And I want him to continue to have an incentive to keep on the same track he's on in New Jersey. I want that to continue.
You don't want to punish him for doing a good, doing something good.
You don't slap the hand that is trying to help you if you expect that hand to keep helping you and to increase the help. Okay? It makes no sense to do that. Now, if you want to shake your fist and be angry because you didn't get everything you wanted because it's not enough, you can do that. But we have an opportunity in the next period of time. And any gun owner, I'm going to make maybe a bold statement, but any gun owner that is publicly criticizing Governor Christie is hurting New Jersey, okay? Anybody who is not giving him credit where it's due, his record is a subject for legitimate criticism.
So you're saying we should just, if you don't want, it's rather than criticize him, just remain silent.
Well, I'm not saying that. People can, listen, there are things like I said, his record's not perfect. But if you're going to bring up something that is not perfect, you also should give him credit where it's due. Why? Because you want him to it has nothing to do with the presidential election. Nothing. It has everything to do with keeping his incentive to keep helping us intact. If he's sticking his neck out and taking unprecedented action, and that is a non-debatable fact, what he has done has never happened here before. Even if you don't like him, you have to acknowledge that.
Do you know what his favorite donut is?
I don't.
Okay. He's not shilling for him. Now, what is ANGRPC's long-term game plan to protect the 2A in the state of New Jersey? That's a big question.
That's a topic
there
for another show. That's a topic for another
show. And what is the ANGRPC doing not only in Trenton but state and countywide to influence legislators? Obviously, we are boots on the ground in New Jersey. I'm the executive vice president.
He's number two.
I'll tell you, this is a really tough one here, Nick. What is the ANGRPC doing in post-Christie? You know, that's going to be a tough one because you think we have a fight on our hands now. And
again,
I can answer the next one. I was treasurer.
Oh, thank you, Anthony.
What is the ANGRPC doing with the vast sums of money? Well, that's a war chest, to be honest with you. And that's a rainy day fighting, scrapping in the street money.
That's what happens after the next gubernatorial
correct
election.
We're going to need that money for a lot of lobbying and other support.
Well,
would you agree, Scott?
Well, yes, but we're also spending vast sums of money on our work in Trenton, on our use of the courts, on our permitting strike force.
Yeah,
and
a lot
expensive.
Of money on strike force. I know. I see the checks. I've signed them. The other thing is that what are you doing with the media outlets? And we are on radio now.
ANGRPC is on radio. We're on radio, billboard, and in print throughout the state of New Jersey. And have been for about I guess about 9 months.
And, you know, you wrote also, Nick, about is the ANJRPC ready, willing, and able to bring the full weight as much possible via legal action?
You better believe it.
And they
better believe
it. And we have been. I got to say that.
Well, I just want to say there's people on the permitting who are frustrated because they haven't seen the result as quickly as they would like to see it. And,
correct.
And I'm frustrated, too. I want to see it quickly, too. But unless you have a blank check to write, it makes a lot more sense to weed out the cooperative towns and takes right. a little longer to weed yeah. out the cooperative towns than to suddenly sue everybody because before right. you know it, you'll have $1 million in legal fees.
More than a right. million. And the other thing is we do not have the full weight of the NRA. We're going to have another show.
Fine.
We're going to bring you and Darren on to talk about that. Now our my buddy Greg DiBernardo, who moved from New Jersey, he wrote, I truly appreciate Mr. Bach coming on the show, regardless of the fact that the NRA as an organization has basically abandoned New Jersey. While it uses us as an example, I kind of agree with it to a certain extent, Scott. So anyway, the first part is, will this move by Governor Christie actually produce lasting results for us? And will this move by Governor Christie prompt the NRA to participate in helping us in a meaningful manner? It would be nice to see some of the money that we, the Freedom Levy, we took. Oh, this is Palermo. I'm sorry. This one's Greg DiBernardo. Don't let me down and soft pedal any of this. These are all extremely valid questions.
Well, first on soft pedaling, I think my jacket is a testimony that you're not treating me delicately.
Because I wiped the booger? All right. Would you agree that every single...
Okay.
So this is the first question from Greg. Would you agree that every single 2A-related issue that Christie has taken action on, vetoes and pardons, for instance, has not been because he supports New Jersey's 2A rights, but because he was politically necessary for optics in his current presidential run? I would agree.
Well, let me...
Go ahead.
I mean, I don't have to answer if you want to answer
no,
it, but...
No, that's my opinion, not yours. Go ahead, you answer.
The answer is I don't know, okay? And it, from my perspective, it doesn't matter because... Whether someone is pure of heart on Second Amendment or is acting to benefit us for their own reasons, I'm here to figure out how to make the most of it. And that's
right.
Okay. I understand that there are people, and I'm one of them in my heart, that would like things to be different. We would like people to be motivated out of pure, you know, whatever. But whatever the reason is, I'm looking at the opportunity that's there, and I want to make the most of it. And I sure as heck don't want somebody from Georgia doing stuff that's going to hurt us in New Jersey.
Okay. The second question he had was about why did you write the op-ed piece? We
discussed that already.
Number three is we expect the Republican governor to, at minimum, veto any anti-gun legislation crossing his desk as a matter of course. What is the tangible benefit to ANJRP's membership by advancing Chris Christie's political career nationally? The editorial, as published, reads like Scott Bach and the ANJRPC owed Christie a favor. What's in it for us?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, again, a valid question. A lot of people, not a lot, but a handful of people have asked that question. And the answer is, I mean, I've already told you what's in it. There's only one thing motivating that op-ed. And number one, it's not an endorsement. We are specifically, explicitly neutral in the presidential, in the Republican presidential primary. The op-ed says that blatantly. The purpose of that op-ed is to give credit where it's due so that the governor continues to have an incentive to do what he's been doing and to keep that trend moving in the right direction. Should it have to be that way? No. Am I saying that if we all attack him, his help is going to stop? No, I don't know that. But I know that you don't slap the hand that's trying to help you if you want it to continue to help you. And I want it to continue to help. And I want to use the time that he has left in office to continue the trend of unprecedented things. And anybody who is not giving him credit and not being fair to what he has done is affecting that incentive, and it's potentially damaging to New Jersey.
Okay, number
four. I can't say anything without a long sentence.
Number four, Scott, as the public figurehead of New Jersey's largest 2A rights group and an NRA board member, do you feel that it is appropriate to essentially endorse Christie with such a weak, if not laughable, 2A rights track record for presidential candidacy?
Well,
are you willing to have a guy like Christie establish federal gun policy considering his past complete anti-gun stance that he campaigned for
He's not going to get there.
It's not an endorsement. It is not an endorsement. You don't have to favor Christie as a presidential candidate to acknowledge the factual things he has done. That is not a stretch.
You're separating the two things here.
Yeah.
Because let's face it and be honest. This guy's got no chance whatsoever of ever making it to the president.
But U.S. Attorney General, probably.
U.S. Attorney General, yes, probably. And we still want to be able to. I see what you're doing. I'll use the words because you can't use them. We're exploiting the opportunity.
I wouldn't use those words, but.
Yeah. What we're saying is he's done a good thing. We're moving this. Even if we stalled it and are moving it in the right direction, we're doing it a slice at a time, and we want it to continue.
Listen,
and we're willing to ride this bus as long as we
like
can.
Sounds like Sandy's shilling for you.
And I understand why Greg in Georgia is upset, because he has a different perspective now. He used to live in New Jersey. He's in a free state.
He's in a state I want to move to.
He is looking at this from a national perspective, and from his perspective, listen, there's a lot of great candidates on the Second Amendment running in the Republican primary, okay?
Right.
And so he perceives what we're doing as, you know, helping Governor Christie nationally. What we're trying to do is to, listen, I don't see people being fair to the man on the national stage, okay? There's things you can criticize about his Second Amendment record.
Hell yeah,
There's a lot of things you can say good about what he's done that factually are firsts in state history. And if you don't give him credit where it's due, why should he continue to stick his neck out for us? Greg is right. You shouldn't have to. You know, vetoes should be expected and pardons should be expected. He's right. But now we have to look at reality. Have we ever had those in the history of the state of New Jersey?
No.
Never. No. So you give credit where it's due. It's really not that hard to do. And it
sucks, Scott, because we're so, and you can sense the frustration of everybody
of course,
here.
And
it sucks that we have to go, yay, over shit.
So what was his favorite donut, you said?
Listen, my job is to deal with reality.
Right.
It's to deal. Now, there are people who are going to say, change the reality, knock down the wall and build a new one and whatever. And that's great. And there are things to be done. There's people who are saying we're purely on defense, which is not true. We've been on offense where we can be, but we don't ignore the reality that exists in this state. There are areas
that you
where,
still have to live and exist.
Well, in the meantime, there are certain realities in the state that are objective. Like if you can count, you can figure out that the legislature is not going to pass a gun bill. Listen, there are some gun groups nationally, locally, that are just want to show that they've done something. And I could get any piece of legislation introduced in Trenton. Pro-gun,
right.
It's
right.
not going to go anywhere.
Right. Somebody will write it.
There's a carry law that's been sponsored by Patrick Carroll and Phil for 10, 12 years
exactly.
now.
There are
We've been
some
talking about that forever.
There are some people out there that are saying that I'm responsible for that and that I'm part of the problem because with the platform I have, I could just wave a magic wand and change that. Listen, I've been doing this a long time.
In a state where Republicans are liberal Democrats, that is, who are all, we've got anti-gun Republicans who, and the Democrat members way outweigh the number of Republicans.
Right.
Scott, I want you to set up a show with Darren Goins, see what his schedule is like, and come in and we can talk again about, he can get approval from NRA to come on the show, and you can help. I mean, I read off every year the Civil Rights Annual Report on what monies the NRA spends, what law cases that you and Knappen and Pisano and everybody has. No problem doing that. Scott, I want to thank you for coming on the show. I know
Thanks.
You've been on a hot seat. I hope the AG acts soon with very sharp, gnawing, gnashing teeth so that you prove all the naysayers wrong. I really do, for me, for you, and for everybody.
But by the way, is there a washing machine here? I need one desperately.
It's a small booger.
You should run.
All right, listen, January 9th, 10 to 3, Pitter Patter Puppy House will be here. Please do not forget. Friday, February 12th, Knappen's class. He will only be here four times in 2016. You don't want to miss it. January 11th, holster draw. January 16th, protective pen. January 17th, urban carbine 1. January 31st, reloading class. February 21st, urban pistol 1. February 27th is the prepping class with James Hedham. Wait till you check out that class. You will not believe it. Please support those who support us. As Sandy would say, each one reach one. I will be announcing something very shortly about that. We're going to have a little challenge going on at Woodland Park Gun for Hire Range. Thank you all, and a happy new year. Scott, go ahead.
Does anybody have any Lysol?
All right, you've done it again. In the new year, you've wasted yet another perfectly good hour listening to Gunfire Radio. Gunfire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast is managed by Cosmo Music, LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. I'm Sandy Barani. On behalf of my booger-flinging colleague and the rest of the crew here at Gunfire Radio
and
Winston, please, pitpatpup.org, send in some money and dog food, bitches. Okay, yeah?
Hey.
All right. We love you guys. See you next week.
I gotta leave.